What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Woo! It's Monday morning. We made it. And by we, I really am referring to just Jay and I, because this whole NFL Sunday routine into a Monday is exhausting. It is all consuming. And yes, I signed up for it, so no, I'm not complaining. But I just want you to know, if I say something stupid in this final hour, you can get the rest of the podcast, and it's really great radio. We are doing our absolute best to cover everything at least once and then get back to the top stories in the NFL, because once again, Sunday was a doozy. Wild, wacky, weird, and absolutely wonderful. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. You need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. What you won't hear this final hour is a bunch of baseball, but we're going to get to that. Of course, the wild card weekend is on the horizon. It's this new format, and after the last three games of the regular season, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, with still some seeding on the lines and one more wild card to be accounted for, and that's in the National League after the Padres clinched the number two spot. I still don't know the winners of the NL East, though the Braves just swept the Mets over the weekend. There's a lot that we're going to talk about once we get back to our post-football type of rhythm. But for now, it's all NFL, and it's much as we can cram in this final hour. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Did I just do this? Oh, see what I mean?
They don't mind.
That's what happens. Well, I know they don't mind, but I don't have time to waste. I just did that. Okay, so instead, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got our Monday mortification poll up and ready for you to cast your ballot. So essentially, it's our new thing. We've gotten a lot of great traffic and response to it, so we'll continue to do it. Who should feel the most mortified? Not morbid, just mortified. Who should feel the most misery and mortification on this Monday? We don't single out individuals. That's not fair. But we do point to teams who essentially spit the bit or looked abysmal. You know, when that whole phrase about good, bad, and ugly, they're the bad and the ugly all put together. We've given you four candidates on Twitter and on Facebook. So check those out, cast your ballot, and we will reveal the wiener. Definitely the wiener on Monday night. We want to get to Sunday night football, though, because coming off of the loss to the Indianapolis Colts last week, so week three, the Kansas City Chiefs definitely felt like they let one get away. I remember hearing from them post-game, no disrespect to the Indianapolis Colts, we lost this game. No disrespect to the Colts, it was our mistakes and our inability to capitalize on opportunities that left us with the loss. So there they were, with a really tough opponent in Tampa on Sunday night. This game played at Raymond James Stadium in the wake of the deadly hurricane. Even now, rescue efforts and recovery efforts are still ongoing. More than a million people without power. The death toll continues to climb. The southeastern Gulf Coast has been ravaged. And so maybe a decision that not everyone understands to play the game there in Tampa. If you missed my conversation with sideline reporter TJ Reeves of the Buccaneers Radio Network, I would encourage you to get it. We talked about Florida and the people of Florida and football returning to Tampa before we ever talked about what happened between the white lines. That's on our podcast. And TJ himself, a Floridian, going through this storm. After hours, AmyLawrence.com. Very thoughtful insight from TJ. When we did talk about the game, we talked about Kansas City off to the races. I mean, this was a fumble on the opening kick that set off the Chiefs' offense.
Matthew Wright just signed this kick, kicks it away. As the Buccaneers will take it at 2 yards deep in the end zone at the 20, at the 20-yard line, slicing through and up to the 23-yard line. Well covered by the Chiefs. And now they say the ball is out. Kansas City is saying they have the football. They do! The Chiefs have recovered the opening kickoff on a fumble recovery by Elijah Lee. Trio of receivers to the right. Mahomes fires Kelce over the middle, inside the 10, 5, leap to the end zone! Touchdown! Kansas City, two plays after a fumbled kickoff, the Chiefs get a touchdown. Just the converse of the way the game against the Colts started. A 16-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes to Kelce.
Well, this is where the Chiefs like to get creative. They're going to line up in a wildcat. Jet McKinnon is the quarterback. Mahomes is wide to the right. McKinnon in the backfield. Waits, takes the snap. McKinnon will hand it off. Edwards-Helaire running right, pushing between the hash marks. Down toward the goal line, trying to get in. And he is. Touchdown, Kansas City.
First, you hear Mitch Holthus on Chiefs Radio and then Ryan Radke following up on Westwood One. And it was four touchdowns on the first five drives for the Chiefs. No resistance at all from the Tampa Bay defense, one that's been really good. In fact, has been the reason why the Buccaneers have been competitive to start the season. But a couple of Bucs fumbles in that first half, and the Chiefs were able to capitalize. The jaw dropper. The highlight that you must see, it's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's everywhere on this Monday. Patrick Mahomes, deep into the red zone in the second quarter. He scrambles right toward the sideline. He pulls this spin move to get out of the grasp of a surefire tackler. He moves toward the end zone, and then he creates his own category of pass. It was a combination of jump pass and push pass. And it was one of the awkward passes that you'll ever see. And yet, when it's Mahomes, it's magic.
At the two, they fake the trap. Now Mahomes scrambling to his right, holding it, gets off the hit, now lunging forward. And now fires it late, caught at the back of the end zone. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes with the touchdown pass. His second touchdown pass of this game, the 161st of his career. That is the most touchdown passes by any NFL quarterback in history in their first 67 games.
The NFL hasn't seen anything like Pat Mahomes, I promise you that. And you saw it today. He's the Houdini of our era, man. The guy just finds ways to make plays throughout the game. I mean, big time third downs, big time goal line plays, just willing our team into the end zone, willing our team to win, and that's our ultimate leader, man.
And Travis Kelce gets to see it firsthand all the time. Actually, he's talking about Houdini. He hurdled a defender to get into the end zone on that first drive, or one of the first drives. So you hear Mitch Holthus on Chiefs Radio. Really funny, actually, if you haven't seen the NFL version of the dots. So I might retweet it here, but I know that it's out there on our social because it's funny. It's the dots. So it's the various offensive players and then the defensive players, and it's set up as their original formation near the goal line, but they're just dots with numbers, so not people with faces, and it's it's more of just a diagram to show you how they move around. And Patrick Mahomes' movement on that particular play, even in dot form, is amazing. Here, I'll retweet it. You can check it out, A-Law Radio. Maybe you've seen it because it's only been viewed by 79,000 people so far.
Those dots are becoming more popular. I've noticed them on, remember Kyler Murray's crazy 2-point conversion a few weeks ago? That was the one where I first saw those dots, and I see them every week now.
It's they're essentially cool. Like a video game is what right. They're doing. They're kind of showing you the progression in a video game in dot form. So yes, Patrick Mahomes showing off. This is what he does. It's all quirky and creative wrinkles from Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes just happens to be the perfect man to execute all of these offensive concoction from his head coach. So the Bucs were able to salvage a drive late in the first half and pull within 11. So it was down 28-17 at the break. But they never got closer than 10 points, because even though there were a pair of touchdowns for the Buccaneers in the second half, one actually came after a Patrick Mahomes interception, Kansas City was too good at running the ball, was too good at protecting Mahomes, and he, of course, loves to find his receivers. And so this one, maybe it surprises you, but the time of possession battle was so completely swayed in favor of the Chiefs because they were able to keep the ball away from the Buccaneers by running it. So yeah, they had nearly 39 minutes with the football, and the way that they were able to wear out the Tampa defense, it was bad in the first half, but it didn't get any better in the second half because they were exhausted having to try to track down Mahomes and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and everybody else on that Chiefs offense. So, yeah, 189 rushing yards behind the Chiefs offensive line.
They accepted the challenge. They made our team roll today. That's a great defensive line. And I think they heard the talking, and they heard the talking not only from them but from everybody about how they didn't play well the last week. They accepted that challenge, and they went out there, and when they dominate like that, it makes my job a lot easier.
We stunk it up last week. We all knew that. We admitted it to you. We didn't play the way we should play. And not that the Colts aren't a good football team, but you don't do the things that we did and expect to win the football game. And we're still in the battle for it, but yeah, you can't do those things. So the guys cleaned it up today.
Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs able to get to 3-1. They lead the AFC West with this victory on the road. And honestly, it doesn't matter who the Chiefs throw out there. When Mahomes is dealing the way that he is and Reid is using all those fun wrinkles in his offense, you could put your third string tight end out there and he still catches a touchdown. But Travis Kelce is the star of the show. And on Sunday night, he passed Rob Gronkowski for the most receiving yards by a tight end. He had 92 last night.
What an honor, man. I was telling Tirico, him and Collinsworth, they showed me a list of those guys that were in the top five before it, man. And I remember nobody knowing who the guy in sixth place was and feeling that and turning that into fuel, turning that into something that, you know, being able to live out your dreams. To be on a list like that with those guys, such an honor, and I'm just blessed, man. 8'7", Rob Gronkowski, man, you can't say enough about who he is as a player, as a person, and even to be in the same conversations as a guy like that and the rest of the list, it's just an honor, man.
Well, and at some point, Travis will join them in the Hall of Fame, to be sure. I mean, Gronk's not there yet, but he'll be there as well.
I love puppies.
Hopefully with some puppies. So Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers fall to 2-2. What happened, Coach?
We didn't play well. They did a good job, and they kicked our butts all over the field. Turnovers had nothing to do with it. We got to play situational football. If they do get it down there and hold them to three at least, our red zone defense was poor. Our run defense was poor. Our pass defense was poor. Third down efficiency was poor.
Oh, that too.
And we played a poor game, and that falls on me. I'll take that.
Yeah, definitely the Chiefs had their way. 12 of 17 on third down and 5 of 6 in the red zone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So let's shift then to the other entertaining game. Oh, haha, that really narrows it down. In the late afternoon window, there were only a handful of games in that late afternoon window. Patriots at the Packers. And we knew there would be no Mac Jones, but little did we know, Brian Hoyer wouldn't even last through the first quarter. He was in concussion protocol after a sack. So onto the field comes one Bailey Zappe, rookie quarterback drafted in the fourth round by Bill Belichick in the spring. Wonder how many snaps he took with the first team offense over the course of the preseason and the training camp. Man, welcome to the NFL rookie. And actually, speaking of welcome to the NFL, Jack Jones with a pick six of Aaron Rodgers. And initially, the Patriots had the lead. I thought it was impressive the way that Zappe played. He led a pair of touchdown drives that put New England in front twice in the second half. In fact, first touchdown pass by a rookie this season goes to Bailey. Oh, maybe you thought it was going to be someone else. Kenny Pickett? Not quite. But Bailey finds Devontae Parker. And so it's really up to the Packers to answer. There they are in front of this massive crowd at Lambeau Field. They're in danger of losing this game to a quarterback that probably most of those guys didn't have any idea his name or who he was before this game kicked off. And we see the Packers settle into a rhythm a little bit. So Aaron directs a 75-yard drive. That's Aaron Rodgers. Romeo Doubs hauls it in for a tie game on what was Aaron's 500th career touchdown pass. Also, Romeo Doubs drops what would have been a game winner on a deep shot late in the fourth quarter. Oh, his face. He was hiding it under a towel there on the sidelines at Lambeau. The teams go back and forth to start OT until finally we start to see what Aaron Rodgers and the Packers can do when they're settled in. So they use the run game, and we know that's been a concerted effort since the opening game of the season. They use a healthy dose of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Man, he's a load. They go 12 plays over nearly 7 minutes in overtime to set up. Is it a roller coaster ride still with Mason Crosby? I don't know. After last season, maybe.
31-yard field goal attempt. Here we go. Jack Coco, the snap. Pat O'Donnell on the hold. Mason Crosby for the win. Snap, placement, swing to the right leg, kick to the upright. It is good! It is good! Mason Crosby has done it again! He has booted the Green Bay Packers to a 27-24 victory in overtime over the New England Patriots.
This way of winning, I don't think is sustainable because it's just pushed too much pressure on our defense. And obviously, I got to play better and will play better. But the second half is our kind of football where we're mixing it up. We're throwing the ball outside the numbers. Obviously, we ran the ball, controlled line scrimmage really well.
In the end, you know, Rodgers is just too good. He made some throws that only Rodgers can make. We had pretty good coverage on some of those, and he just... You know, he's just too smart, too good, too accurate. And in the end, he got us. We couldn't quite do enough.
The Pack end up with nearly 200 yards rushing. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, but a good portion of this game he was handing off to his feature backs. He ends up with 251 yards and a couple of scores, but also the pick. As for Bailey Zappe, they don't ask him to do a whole lot. 10 of 15, 99 yards passing, that's it, and a touchdown. So they were also leaning on Damian Harris as well as Ramondre Stevenson. But Bill Belichick, what did you think of your young QB?
Yeah, I thought he competed well.
Huh. What kind of message does it send to your locker room when you say far more about Aaron Rodgers than you do about your own QB who just went out there?
I don't know.
Went out there and managed to not only keep your team competitive, but stay poised. I would definitely say that Bailey did not urinate down his leg. So how do you not give him a little more credit than that?
I appreciate the question. I really do.
You're such a liar. So Bailey, when did you actually settle down?
Probably after like the first play. After the first handoff, kind of settled it in. Everything kind of quieted down. Then I just started, you know, giving the ball to the playmakers, letting them do what they do best.
That is a great recipe for success. And this was a really entertaining game, probably far more competitive than what people expected. I had some viewers, some fans who were sending me tweets about how this was going to be a really long day for Bailey, but he was game.
Day by day.
Okay. Do we have to hear that all this week, too, about Mac Jones? Stop it. Stop asking about Mac Jones, please. All right, so the Packers moved to 3-1. They joined the Minnesota Vikings, who actually got there first by holding off the Saints in London early on Sunday morning. So Vikings and Packers are at 3-1, and they've got the same record as the Cowboys and the Giants. I'm telling you what, that NFC East, is it becoming the best division in football? What? That's sacrilegious. No, it's the soap opera of the NFL. I like it better that way. But right now, it's got three of the best teams in that conference. You are what your record
Don't
says
be
you
ridiculous.
Are. All right, so it wasn't Kenny Pickett who threw the first touchdown pass by a rookie in 2022, but he did have two rushing touchdowns. What else did he do with the football when he came on the field to replace Mitch Trubisky? You got what you wanted, Steelers fans. We'll let you hear it next. Good morning to you. It's a Monday. Who should be the most miserable and mortified? And I don't mean you. I'm referring to teams in the NFL. So find the poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and check out, well, the dots. The dotted Patrick Mahomes, as well as the actual spin move. It's all there on our Facebook page, too. And I did finally post the picture. I promised. Actually, Jay posted the picture at my request. But the picture's up on Facebook. So check out, well, my happy fall picture to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Everything in tight. Third and goal. Pickett, second effort.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
In second effort, got Pickett into the end zone for his first career touchdown, and the Steelers have forged ahead. Claypool jet motion, play action fake. Pickett's going to run, get to the goal line, touchdown Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett, his second of the game, second of his career, and the Steelers open up a little breathing room.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Hey, that's me. Rookie quarterbacks giveth and they taketh away. That's just the rite of passage. And yes, it was an incredible roar when Kenny Pickett entered the game at halftime. In fact, producer Jay, if you want to just isolate that highlight whenever you have it, let me know. I was watching the game, so I had this game on my TV, and it was obnoxiously loud. So Mitch Trubisky gets benched at halftime. Kenny Pickett comes in, and on his very first drive, he converts a fourth down with a QB sneak. But then also on his very first drive, he throws a ball that gets tipped and intercepted. Now, that one didn't turn out to hurt the Steelers at all because Minkah Fitzpatrick picked off Zach Wilson on the very next drive. So they went back and forth. And with his second rushing touchdown that you hear with Bill Hillgrove there on Steelers radio, he and Pittsburgh were up 10 points at home against the Jets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. But as I say, it's generally the highest of highs and the lowest of lows with rookie quarterbacks. And around those two rushing touchdowns, he also had three interceptions. I'm just asking the question, would you say he urinated down his leg? Just kidding. I actually don't think he did, but I don't know that he's ready either. But I think most Steelers fans will take it. In fact, they'd probably even sacrifice this game against the Jets just to have Mitch Trubisky get benched and Kenny Pickett out there.
He didn't urinate down his leg, man.
All right, that's good. Except the second Pickett interception actually led to the Jets' game-winning drive. So Zach Wilson said, hey, anything you can do, I can do better. I'm not a rookie anymore, though he was making his season debut, coming back from that knee injury. And he guided them into the red zone where Breece Hall had the 2-yard rushing touchdown in the final 15 seconds. So the Jets end up winning. And it's a mixed bag with Kenny Pickett, but not for the fans. Listen to this noise.
For the first time in regular season play, a young man from Pitt who helped them win the ACC title last year, led them to the Peach Bowl. And there are a lot of happy people in the stands that Kenny's going to be given a shot here.
Yes, for sure. So I kind of feel like most Steelers fans would say we needed one more bad half from Trubisky so that he could get pulled. Again, that's Bill Hillgrove on Steelers radio. So what about it, Mike Tomlin?
I'm not going to talk extended as we sit here. We did what we needed to do to put ourselves in position to win this game, and we'll do it again. But I like to just keep it where we are in terms of what transpired here today. We'll deal with next week.
A lot of emotions, but I, you know, the only thing I'm thinking about is winning out there. So I was just kind of, you know, staying in tune with the game and what we needed to do to come out with the win. And, you know, that didn't happen. So it's something that I definitely need to learn from quickly and get it fixed for whenever my next opportunity may come.
I think the Steelers have lost games a variety of ways, but the offense has been fingered for a lot of this and the inability to move the ball consistently. How quickly could Kenny Pickett get up to speed? he didn't take many snaps, if any, with the first team during the preseason, and that was part of the challenge. Is he ready? Mike Tomlin and Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, will have to make that assessment. Now, I would say in the same division, while the Steelers are probably not feeling great at 1-3, the Ravens have got to be feeling a whole lot worse. They did it again. Whoops, I think they did it again. They had a huge lead, 20-3. Well, huge. They had a 3-score lead over the visiting Buffalo Bills in the mire and the muck and the rain in Baltimore. They're able to take advantage of a pair of turnovers by the Bills in the first half. They build a nice lead, only to watch it come crumbling down like a house of cards. This is the second time, remember week two against the Dolphins? The Dolphins have 4 touchdown passes from Tua in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, the Ravens disappear.
First and goal.
Happened
first and
again.
Goal. This drive started for the Bills back at their own 24-yard line, trying to find the end zone. Josh takes shotgun snap, back to throw, fires this one, is caught at the 3-yard line, into the end zone, touchdown, Isaiah McKenzie, a 4-yard touchdown catch from Josh Allen. The Bills hit the end zone with 9 seconds left in the first half. 2nd and 3, Bills at the Ravens 11-yard line. They show blitz again. Josh takes the snap, back to throw, now he's going to run it around the left side, first down yardage inside the 5, headed towards the end zone, is he in? Yes! Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen around the left side. Touchdown, an 11-yard run for the Buffalo quarterback. What a play. Davis in the backfield with Lamar Jackson. Now he's in motion to the left side. In the shotgun. Snap. Jackson going to throw. Takes a look. Pocket collapsing. Drops back. Throws it towards the end zone. It is intercepted in the end zone. Picked off in the end zone. Jordan Poyer stepped in front of that pass. Picked off in the end zone by the Bills veteran safety, Jordan Poyer. How about that one?
Ooh, and this is a decision that John Harbaugh will be answering questions about for days and that will be scrutinized just as heavily. John Murphy on Bills radio. So, yeah, lots of moments, lots of highlights for the Bills, like the Josh Allen touchdown run that tied the game late in the third quarter. But there are the Ravens on the 2-yard line, 4th and goal, and John Harbaugh elects to go for it, except Lamar Jackson gets picked off in the end zone. There's pressure too. He's on the move. Jordan Poyer is able to pick off that football in the end zone. And that then gives the Bills an opportunity to go the other way. At this point, they're moving the ball just fine, and Tyler Bass has a chip shot to complete the comeback. 20 unanswered points for the Buffalo Bills. And they end up winning by that field goal. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but man, it was a heck of a lot healthier than what Baltimore did. Actually wasting 162 yards rushing. But in the second half, 2 punts and back-to-back interceptions by Lamar Jackson. So they don't take the field goal. They end up losing, victim of the Bills kick.
I felt like it gave us the best chance to win the game because 7, the worst that happens is if they go down the field and score, and I think we'll get them stopped, but if they go down the field and score a touchdown, the worst thing that can happen is that you're in overtime. But you kick a field goal there, now it's not a 3-down game anymore, it's a 4-down game. You're putting them out there, you're putting your defense at a disadvantage because they've got 4 downs to convert all the way down the field and a chance to again score 7, and then you lose the game.
I was fine with it, you know, because if we would have executed that, we would have scored a touchdown. That one didn't be no question right now. No, nobody wouldn't be disappointed. Next time we'll get it.
So Lamar Jackson says he supports that decision by John Harbaugh, and Harbaugh kind of explains it, that the defense is back on its heels and is having to play 4 downs every time. Honestly, I think it's more about what the Bills were doing in the second half that put the Ravens defense at a disadvantage. But Jordan Poyer with a huge play, and the Bills offense took advantage of it. So this is the second time in 4 weeks, second time in 3 weeks, actually, that the Ravens have coughed up a 3-score lead. Against Miami, it was a 21-point lead. This time it's only 17. But, man, what a huge comeback for the Bills and fuel for them. Remember last week they lost to Miami. So do the Ravens deserve that title of most mortified on Monday. Monday mortification. Miserable Monday mortification. I love my alliteration. So the poll is on Twitter, A-Law Radio.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Seconds on the play clock. Carr's under center. Hands it off to Jacobs. Burst through the middle. Cuts back at the five. Carries a defender. Touchdown, Raiders! Jacobs tosses it into the stands. And he might have just sealed Las Vegas' first win of the year.
That's one of the best, better groups I've played in, you know, my 9 years. It's tough. They make everything difficult. You know, any plays that we made, if you look at it from their perspective, I mean, they're that close also from making a play, you know. So they make it very hard. We responded well and finally got our first win.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Derek Carr and the Raiders pick up their first W of the year, which means we have no more winless teams in the NFL. But it took 212 rushing yards and a monster day from Josh Jacobs. You hear the call there. On Raiders radio, 28 carries, 144 yards, and a couple of scores. And there was defense in this as well. Amik Robertson with a 66-yard fumble return for a touchdown. That was after Melvin Gordon coughs up the football. And Russell Wilson did have a few highlights in this one for the Broncos. So three total touchdowns. He had a big play to Jerry Jeudy for a 20-yard touchdown. But Denver's offense gets bogged down there in the fourth quarter. And meanwhile, Las Vegas is able to add just enough to be able to stay out in front. And pretty sweet numbers for the Raiders at home. 7-14 on third down and only allowing a dozen first downs to the Broncos overall. Also, to add injury to insult for Denver, Javonte Williams reportedly suffered a serious knee injury. He had to be carted off, and the Broncos fear the worst, though we'll wait for further testing on this Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Josh McDaniels earning his first win as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
I want to give our guys credit. We've been trying to improve in some areas and make progress, and I think our guys worked really hard this week to try to make better some things that we obviously need to improve. There's still plenty of meat on the bone, as you guys all know, but I loved our effort. I loved our attitude. I loved our toughness and our competitive spirit to try to finish the game.
In the third quarter, we hurt ourselves. I mean, you know, third and 18, third and 19, I think third and 20, maybe something like that. You know, you don't want to be in those situations, you know, those penalties and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a game of trying to stay on schedule. Obviously, especially when you go against a good team and a tough rivalry and all that. You know, if we could just stay on schedule in those situations, we give ourselves a really good chance.
The Denver Broncos are part of our Monday mortification poll because right now the offense is still pretty hard to come by. Slim pickings. But the AFC West is really competitive. So the Raiders get their first win. They're in the basement. But Broncos are at 2-2, as are the Los Angeles Chargers.
Hand off to Eckler. Eckler jukes. Gets to the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Hand off. There it is. Go. There's the crease. 15, 10, 5. End zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Play action. Rolling to the right. Throwing to Eckler. He's got a lane. 10, 5. To the end zone. Hits the pylon. Touchdown, Chargers. A three-pack.
The Austin Eckler Show, the call there with Matt Smith on Chargers Radio. And actually, LA jumps out with a furious offense in the first half, scoring on 5 of 6 drives, powered by Austin Ekeler. There was one highlight for Houston that is worth mentioning. Damian Pierce, really the bright light for them, the rookie running back, a 75-yard rumble for a score. But the Texans were down 20 at the break. Davis Mills has a couple of mistakes, couple of interceptions, and Justin Herbert and Austin Ekeler, that combination just too much for Houston. And so the Chargers also are at 2-2. And man, when you have a weapon like Austin Ekeler, the game should be a lot easier.
Last year he had 20 touchdowns and he was the top red area producer, you know, in the NFL. So to get him going today was big. I felt like he played like a captain today. Beyond his performance on the field, I felt like he really led our football team on offense and just played with the energy that he's known for, and just a complete performance by him.
Just need to keep executing. You know, we had our shots. You know, unfortunately, we missed a couple here and there. But, you know, we're thankful for the defense coming up with some big-time stops. And when we needed to drive late in the end, you know, we ran right behind our offensive line, through to our guys. You know, it's never fun losing in the NFL. And I thought the team, especially our offense and defense, they showed up during practice. And they had a great week of preparation. And, you know, it starts up front with our offensive line as well.
So the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers are 2-2. Justin Herbert with 340 yards and a couple of scores, but this was really about Austin Ekeler. So that's a popular record right now in the AFC, where it's thick around the middle. The Titans are also at 2-2 because they have their own star running back.
Tannehill, play fake, looking, throwing, man is wide open. Touchdown, Titans, Bobby Trees, that is Robert Woods. Tannehill gives it to Henry around right end to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. The King, Derrick Henry, touchdown, Titans!
They were packed inside so hard like sardines, and he bounced it outside. Goodbye.
It's about the will, the want to beat the man in front of you. I feel like everybody did a great job of doing that, and just had to do my job of trying to get north and south and as much as I can out of play.
Derrick Henry, 114 yards and a score. And yeah, when we're talking about running backs in the AFC, we kind of need to include him because he is a beast when he is healthy. But also the Matt Ryan turnovers in Indianapolis, they are certainly contributing to this slow start for the Colts. Both of his first half turnovers lead to Titans touchdowns. And get this, in the second half, Tennessee doesn't score, as in goose egg. But Indy only manages one drive of its own that results in points, has a missed field goal, and how about this, a Jonathan Taylor fumble. So we get Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor on the same field, and Henry definitely had the better numbers, and the Titans get the best of the Colts. So yeah, you're looking around the AFC, there's a lot of teams that are sitting at 2-2. Titans and the Jaguars, they actually lead the AFC South. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Actually, briefly, before we move on to the one last game that we have to get to, I'm so proud. We've gotten to everything in some of the top storylines twice. For Matt Ryan and the Indianapolis Colts, their defense plays well in many cases, but he continues to turn the ball over. I know this was an issue that plagued them when he was still in Atlanta. People were complaining about it. He's a veteran quarterback. He's got to take care of the football.
Felt like we had a good plan coming into it. And, you know, we just haven't been able to get into sync early enough in games throughout the year. And it's something that we have to address and get better at and fix.
A tough loss. Hats off to the Titans that came in. Played a good game, well coached. You know, it's hard to win a game when you lose the turnover battle the way we did and started the way we did. Put ourselves behind the hole and just not good enough. I'm proud of how we fought back, gave ourselves a chance at the end. But at the end of the day, not good enough.
So we've gotten to every game in the NFL on Sunday. Of course, we have one more coming up tonight. Bet you didn't think that it was the Seahawks and the Lions that would offer the most points, first downs, and yards combined. 1,075 yards, 54 first downs, and 93 points between these two on Sunday.
Lockett comes in, gets the play call, goes back out into the slot. Metcalf is wide to the far side. Penny in the backfield. And Penny gets a handoff, and there he goes. The 30, the 20, he's going to score 10, 5, touchdown, Seahawks!
front.
Second down and goal from the three. Out of the huddle and to the line. Goff sends two receivers right, one left. Tight end Hockenson tight to the line, left side. Goff on second and goal from the three. Turns, fakes the give, looks, end zone, throws. It is caught. Touchdown, Detroit Lions, Josh Reynolds.
That was just a snippet. Do you know that these two teams scored on seven consecutive drives in the second half? No kidding. Detroit had 30 points after halftime. The Seahawks had 24. And as I say, the final score, 48-45. They combined for 93 points. Ultimately, the Seahawks get their second win of the year. And you know Pete Carroll, he's all about it.
This is a much-needed win for us. Really excited about the way we played on the road again, getting out here and doing it. Right from the beginning, we were going. And this was a day that the offense was such a highlight in the day. And they scored the first four times we had the ball. We were executing. We were knocking out third downs. We wound up running the football really well today. For the first time, it really felt like we had it rolling.
That was not a real good performance, you know, which falls on me. That was, we weren't real sharp, you know, it wasn't real clean. We had penalties, we had turnovers. One of those was for 7 points, which was the difference in the game. And then defensively, man, it just, you know, we weren't good. So special teams made some plays, but then there was a couple we gave up too. So it was just, it wasn't clean. And that's on me.
Listen to this. The Lions are averaging 35 points per game. They score a lot of points, but they're giving up just more than that. They are the first team in NFL history. Here's your Detroit Lions nerd alert. I don't know if I've ever done one of these before. They are the first team in NFL history to have scored and allowed a combined 281 points through the first month of the season. I don't know who does that. It's a good question, Pete Carroll. The Lions. They've scored... So points for and points against, 281 points combined. No team's ever essentially said, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown, and you get a touchdown, and you get a touchdown. Everybody scores. Everybody gets a touchdown. Woo! To the tune of 1-3. But it's only the first month. There's still a long way to go. Just like you've got a long road through your Monday, but we'll be waiting at the end of it Monday night here after football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
I'm Listening reminds you that you are not alone and that talk saves lives. There's a new national hotline for mental health-related distress, 988. When you call or text 988 from any phone, you will be connected directly with trained counselors in over 200 crisis centers nationwide. They can get you the help you need anytime, anywhere. 988, the new national suicide prevention lifeline. Talk saves lives. And with 988, talking is only 3 digits away. Find out more at imlistening.org.